Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to the Bears Draft Profile Series. Today, we are going to be taking a look at Penn State offensive lineman Ola Fashanu. Yes, an offensive lineman. We've got so much to get to. So, Sammy, let's start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With Adam Rank.
It's Hester. Trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
The sickest Chicago Bears and fantasy football podcast. Sports entertainment like no other. It's going to be sick.
Welcome back to the Bears Draft Profile Series. So far, we've looked at Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. If you have not watched those episodes, I implore you to go back and check them out. But today, we're going to be looking at Ola Fashanu. And to help us do that, from the Sick Podcast, Draft Vogel is draft analyst and consultant John Draft Vogel. John, how you living?
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Great. How are you, Adam?
Oh, I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for being here. It's interesting. I love offensive linemen, but I always find it fascinating trying to break them down because for me, I really have a difficulty doing it. I think wide receiver, quarterback, running back, all that stuff, tight end even, I feel like I've got a pretty good grasp on. The offensive lineman makes it tough. So I'm going to be leaning on your expertise. Now, when we sat down to go over some of the players that we were going to talk about in this series, Ola Fashanu was somebody that you really loved. Why are we so high on him?
First off, you know, I'm offensive line is something I've had to learn how to do too, Adam, because I'm 5'6" and about 180. So, you know, clearly my expertise from experience is limited. But you know, you get around some offensive line coaches, you start to kind of learn, you know, what those different techs are. You talk to defensive linemen about how they break them down on tape and what the things are that they're looking for. And that's when you start learning about, you know, vertical versus horizontal setters, inside versus outside punchers, and, you know, different stuff like that. And, you know, next thing you know, you start feeling like, oh, this is what Bill Polian's talking about. I get it now. But with Fashanu, one of the things that kind of stood out first off was, you know, his frame. I think when you look at an offensive lineman, the first thing that you want to look at and observe is, does he look like an NFL player? It's literally an eyeball test. Does he look like one? Fashanu hits all those benchmarks, except for we got the measurements back and his hands are extremely small for a guy 6'6", 315. I mean, they're tiny. So we'll get into that here in a second. But as a pass protector, I really liked him. I thought he was very solid across the board. I know that, you know, people could pick on those two games that he played in back-to-back years against Ohio State, where he was just those were the two worst games he played in his career. Everything else was pretty darn consistent. He's got 21 career starts in 2 years. He, you know, came back from the injury and that he had in 22, which was undisclosed. Don't know what really what that was that he was dealing with. But as a run blocker, even too, he's very controlled. He's very consistent. He keeps his assignment moving downhill, but you know, there's just sometimes when he gets up to the second level, he doesn't peel off the block as well. Really stays focused and locked in on his man instead of working out and taking out that linebacker, especially when he's got help. So you want to see him kind of figure out those types of things, but he's very smart. He feels stunts coming really well, hands off defenders as a pass protector extremely well. I really liked his anchor. I thought his, you know, his recovery when he starts to get overwhelmed as he sets as a pass protector, he finds a way to really stop that initial advancement and plant his feet and secure and stop that bull rush or whatever it is that he's facing. He's very strong, and I thought he was a much better athlete than people were kind of suggesting him to begin with.
Is it possible, though, to overcome the hand size? Like, how big of an issue is that for offensive linemen? Now, he doesn't have baby hands by any stretch of the imagination, but how big of a deal is that going to be for him?
By offensive line standards, 8.5-inch hands are extremely small. Those are practically baby hands, right?
Pretty but close, yeah.
For offensive linemen, we talk a lot of guys that we have in the league right now have 9, 10, even 11-inch hands. You know, so to see 8.5 was a little bit of a head scratcher. But the importance of hands is when you're in a hand fighting situation, the first thing that you want to do as a, you know, as a blocker, a lot of times is get your hands on, especially if you're an inside puncher like a Lou is, get hands on, grab that shoulder pad, right? That sort of that place right there underneath the armpit, those shoulder pads, grab them and lock them in. Don't let them get outside your frame because now you're holding, but you can do that as long as you're inside your frame, and that's how you can hold blocks. So when you have smaller hands, your strike force is not as effective, you know, so when you bring that initial punch in and you're trying to, you know, jolt that defender so that, you know, you could take away a lot of his initial explosion or acceleration coming off the snap, you're going to lose a little bit of punch with that, and it's going to be a little bit harder to grab him and hold him into a block. Now, perhaps that's why he struggled against Ohio State. I'm not entirely sure. JT just seemed to have his number. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name yet. He's not in this class. Yeah. I hadn't learned his name yet. But JTT had him absolutely figured out. And that's one of those things we'll be studying next year. You know, I think if you take a Lou and you're one of the teams that are sitting in his division, you got to play him twice a year. I'm drafting JT in the first round next year, whether he's worth it or not, just to go after a Lou. But
the Packers will end up drafting him next year and be like, oh great, this is the way to
this
go.
Is awesome, right? Yep. But hand size is kind of important. You know, you can overcome it. And Alou showed the ability to overcome it throughout his entire career at Penn State. But it is a little bit of a concern, especially when you've got a lot of tackles in this class that, you know, teams really like that fit those standards.
Well, what about the tackle position? Because now, obviously, Ryan Poles has drafted two tackles, Braxton Jones, Darnell Wright last season. I really do believe he loves both of these guys. Is Fashanu somebody who could move inside? Could he possibly be a guard in one of the swing spots right there?
It's very possible. You know, typically when you can play tackle, you can play guard, especially if you're a strong guy. You know, and he's got some strength. One of the things that I like to do is I like to study, you know, offensive lines and see what those tendencies are. You'll see offensive line coaches have tendencies on the positions and what they kind of prefer based on measurements, based on athletic ability. And, you know, when you kind of look at what, a Bears tackle, Olu fits it pretty well. When you look at a guard, maybe not as much. They typically like guards that are a little bit shorter, closer to 6'3". And I think that's, you know, literally because you're going to have a shorter quarterback back there than you want him to kind of be able to see while he's in the pocket. That is something that teams do consider. You know, it's not an old wives' tale, you know, where you do actually want to consider that when you've got if you're going to have a 6-foot quarterback back there, you don't want 6'6 offensive linemen. Whereas, you know, the Bengals, look at what they've done at the tackle position the last couple of years. They went out, got these big 6'6", 6'7", mammoths because they got a 6'5 quarterback. They're not worried about him seeing over them. So, you know, Alou's 6'6". and measured in at 6'6 at the combine. So he'd be a little bit on the taller side. They do have a taller guard there in Tevin Jenkins. But I would think that you typically could get a better guard later in the draft if you really wanted to address the interior of your line. And you typically don't take a guy in the first round unless he's an absolute commodity at guard like Quentin Nelson.
Right, right. That makes a lot of sense. And if I would doubt that the Bears would draft him at 9, it would probably be a trade down type of situation. But you actually were telling me off air that you like him better than Joe Alt.
I do. And it's because I think he has a higher upside, a higher ceiling than Alt. Alt right now is pretty much a polished prospect. I don't think that there's a lot that he can really get better at. You know, he's pretty darn good with his hands. You know, he's pretty well set in his frame. You know, Alu still has room to expand on, you know, just his general frame right now, but he's also got room to get better with his hands. He's already doing it well, but he's still got a little room to get better. You see him, you know, in all these sets, and you're just sitting there going, man, if he could get off a block as in a you know, run blocking situation, working downhill and take that linebacker out and know what he's doing there. Now we're talking about, instead of a 3-4 yard pickup and the running back one-on-one with the linebacker, we're talking about them a 6-7-8 yard pickup with the running back one-on-one with the safety. And, you know, Alt, I think, is a little bit limited in his first step. He's not as commanding as Alu is off his first step, but the upside's much higher with Alu, and that's why I like him better.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting to see what the Bears do at that spot. Of course, you know, you have two tackles, but again, this is Ryan Poles, and, you know, there's a great possibility he goes offensive line, defensive line, and there's a lot of ways that he can go with this one. And I want to remind everybody, this is the third part of our Bears draft series. I got to get that right. Let me make sure that I'm saying this correctly. It's the Bears Draft Profile Series. This is the third one. We had two previous ones, Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze. We're going to be having more coming out here in the next couple of days. And of course, if you want more draft coverage, follow the Sick Podcast, Draft Vogel. Follow him on Twitter at Draft Vogel. John, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you in a couple of days. And until that time, Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.